final again.
And that the lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Well, hello, 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 hello. Yeah. Greetings. Happy Father's Day to you. That's what today is. Father's Day. I thought I had to commemorate the occasion somehow. So I drove down to Buffers Park this morning and went, of course, to the spot I like to park at, where the cats live. And they got their boy out there with a sawhorse blocking the way and a $7 parking fee, unless you're a guest at the restaurant, Bluffers by the Sea or whatever it is. In which case you get a refund, and I ain't going to no restaurant. So you can't park there. It really pisses me off. All winter, it's great, but summer comes, they're going to milk that lot. I guess, I don't know why they own it, but they seem to. Only the cat feeders get in free. And so I drove back to the boat launch area. And usually you can park there and just take a quick walk down and not have to feed the meter, you know, and get my bench under the willow tree. Walk down there, and there were hundreds. All right. Now, dozens would give you the wrong impression. Let's say minimum 50 Chinese people having, I guess, what would be a family barbecue. I mean, completely filled. It was like ants had just taken over this whole spot. Doesn't matter that they're Chinese. Doesn't matter who they are. They're just throngs of people speaking loudly in another language. And I can't get near my favorite bench, okay? So now I'm back to the parking lot in the picnic area. And, of course, it's full. I got one spot isolated. So I got a shitty view. What am I looking at? I'm looking at a crossing sign. I'm looking at some park. I'm looking at concrete blocks. I'm looking at a fucking parking lot, not the big blue Lake Ontario, not up at the Bluffs. I'm looking at a fucking parking lot, all right? I don't like it. I don't like having my place usurped by others. Is that the right word? Usurped? I don't know, I don't care, I'm just annoyed. And a little voice said, well, dude, don't podcast if you're not in a good mood, dude. Go somewhere else, find a special place, find another place. And I could spend all day doing that and get you nothing. I've already scrapped one piece of this podcast. And I even said on that very podcast, if I don't include this clip, I'm being very hypocritical. So I'm confessing to you, I'm a hypocrite. It was one of those, you know, late night, coming home, been with Adam in the bar, sat at the Eglinton Go parking lot, turned on the recorder, and let it all hang out. And it was just kind of stupid. I was kind of high. And you know, it was hard holding on to thoughts and joining them together. Kind of like my jolt. I keep trying to replay in my mind my PAB jolt. And I know I should let it go. Hey, no big deal. You know, everybody did their thing. Why are you going on? But, you know, you take responsibility for what you do. And I know I've talked about it so much on this damn podcast already that I have to kind of finish it. I honestly don't know what I said that day. I just know that it was in bits and pieces. It was not joined together. And I wish I had been able to express a clear message. I think my message was friendship is really important. And it's wonderful to belong to a group like this where you can make such wonderful friends. I'm pretty sure that's what I wanted to say, and maybe that part got across. I don't know. I just know that I was fighting back tears the whole time. I mentioned before, that's the second time that's happened to me. I don't really know why. I just get incredibly emotional with an overwhelming feeling of love and care. And part of me thinks it's a good thing, and part of me is just plain embarrassed about it. But not so much the embarrassment, but just the awkwardness of it. Of, oh, geez, you're going to cry every time you talk in front of these people? That's not much fun. So I don't know. I really don't know. I just know it's Father's Day, and maybe I should do a few more reflections about Father's Day. And I was going to think about what kind of a lousy father have I been. I'm certainly not a good enough father, and yet I think a lot of other people are thinking back, not about themselves, but about their own fathers. And who was mine? I dearly loved mine. He was truly, truly a special man, a very rare man, and just of a different time altogether from maybe what most of my listeners know. So grew up, you know, hey, born 1914, almost 100 years ago, tells you something. And survived the Depression, survived the war, and, you know, led a right up to a middle-class existence and raised his daughter and two sons and gave us the breaks we needed to get through life. Not too much. You know, we were always very budget conscious. It was a very tight middle class existence. He wasn't a rich man, but we managed. It was all very respectable and decent and fair. Talk about my mother's father, my granddaddy, who I also loved but just didn't have enough of in my life because, you know, he died when I was, what, 13 or something. And, God, I was going to say more about my own. We parted on good terms, you know. I was in Japan when he died of a heart attack, but I didn't feel there was a whole lot left unsaid or undone. He knew I had married. He loved my wife. He met my children. So there's a certain degree of relief, maybe, that no, oh, if only I had or had not, none of those feelings. God, this is not very exciting, is it? I guess I just don't have my heart into this. I'm just sort of talking, but not speaking with much in the way of emotion. I'm just not very focused. I don't know. Yesterday I was thinking, man, you know, you'd be doing yourself a big favor if you gave up alcohol altogether, 100%, boom! You're not drinking anymore. You're not going to bars. You're not wasting money on crappy food and shitty beer. You're going to give up all that, which would mean a lot, missing an awful lot of socializing. And it's one of the things I actually love doing. So, like, why am I saying this? But health-wise, losing weight, saving money, forcing myself maybe to read more and do other things, it all makes perfect sense. And yet, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think it's a bit, as Barnacle Bill was saying, it's a bit drastic, you know. Why? Really, why? So a little bit dissatisfied with myself. The clip that I'm not including, that I said I should have, had a lot to do with ego and how my ego swells when I'm around the podcasting community and I get all excited that certain people seem to like me and value what I have to say. And I get creeped out by how good it makes me feel. Like, I want more. I love that. It's great. And I think that's what gets me all teary-eyed. And yet, at the same time, I'm feeling phony, and I'm feeling I'm deliberately manipulating things so that people will like me. And that the person they like is not the real me. You know, all this crazy shit that you kind of go through and you wish you could just be plain and simple and don't keep overthinking. There's a great little quote about that today of just, you know, being caught up in too much. Paralysis by analysis, I think that was the quote. Don't know what it was in reference to, but you have to be careful of that. I think I'm okay. I move forward. I'm getting through life. I am lazy. I mean, here it is. You know, I'm sitting in Bluffers Park in my car complaining about a shitty view, and The view I had before I left was sitting on my deck watching my wife weed the garden, water the plants, and fix the bird feeder. And, you know, there's two things there. Number one, it was a much nicer view than what I've got now. It was lovely to watch her in the garden. But the other point, of course, that you may be noticing is, what the fuck, dude? You're sitting on your deck doing nothing while she's doing all the work in the garden? Like, what kind of a shit husband are you? And it's just that she's a stronger, more disciplined... I mean, she grew up differently, like, okay? Hey. She's real Japanese in the good sense of the word. In the best sense of the word. She's hardworking. She's industrious. She cares about the things she does. She does her best at everything she takes on. And I'm just kind of a lazy fuck. Lucky to have married her. Lucky she married me. Now, my boys, in terms of what they think of their father on this Father's Day, I think I got kind of an earful when I was out in Vancouver with number one son. I think both of them are fully aware of my shortcomings. One of the things that, of course, I'm too emotional. I get excited if there's any amount of criticism or something else. I just overly get excited. I just react, you know, in a very immature, emotional fashion. And they both, hey, calm down, you know, relax. You know? And I think maybe I don't take criticism very well. I sort of want respect from my sons, and I think both of them more or less have made it clear, hey, you got to earn respect. You don't just get it because you're our father. You got to earn it. And so perhaps I don't always get their respect because I don't always deserve their respect. That's quite plain and simple. And maybe we'd all like to be superheroes and have everybody love us for everything we do, but that's just kind of stupid and unrealistic. And we have to accept our shortcomings and accept that's part of who we are, and others have to accept our shortcomings and accept, yeah, that's who you are. I was very moved by a picture Bob Goyette posted of his father and taking him fishing, and there's little Bob holding a fish and his father kind of holding up the line, standing beside him, and it's a still photo from 1978, and it's just a wonderful image of a father and a son. And Bob, of course, misses his father who died, and it's an image I can't think of a comparable image that I have for my sons. I mean, a favorite memory is when I was in Niigataken, where my wife is from, and the bicycles in Japan, we don't have all the same rules we have about helmets and safety. They would just fasten a little basket onto the front handlebars with that the child could sit in, and his legs would just sort of hang over the front wheel. It was wonderful. And a real happy memory is riding my number one son, you know, along the little dikes, along the rice fields, and through rural Japan in this beautiful area, past little temples in the middle of nowhere. And how much fun that was to have him, and how exciting it would be for him just sitting. I mean, hey, you got the best view. You're right over the front wheel of a bike, held onto the handlebars, seemingly just in midair, and your dad's behind you pedaling away. And that's an image I don't know that I have. I probably have a couple of pictures of those somewhere I could probably scan, but that's a fine image. I don't have as many as my number two son, because by then my number one son was older, and we left Japan when they were 4 and 2. So I'm missing a few with Chuck. By the way, didn't I say last time when I was in Vancouver, I'm changing them from Chuck and Jerry to Frank and Joe? I should try and get in the habit of that. Frank and Joe wasn't the Hardy Boys. Frank being the elder. I don't have as many pictures of Joe like that. And by the time we got to Canada, God, I just got busy and... I suppose maybe the message here is that it's pretty hard to be a perfect father. I think it's hard to be any father, perfect or not. It's a role you take on, a role you have to you adapt to, you take it on, you don't read books necessarily, you just do it. And I know I could have done a whole lot better, and particularly when they were younger. I think as now that they're older, I guess it doesn't matter so much. You've sort of already launched them. You want to be there for them. You want to give them financial stability and support, you know, the basics. And you certainly don't want to hit them or be abusive or curse them out. You know, you got to just be fair and nice. That's sort of the standard. But there's always the feeling, oh my God, you know, you could do so much more. And some people, I think, are just naturally much more giving that way. And I tend to be a very selfish individual. My biggest flaw, I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, I'm looking to satisfy myself all the time. And those are just shortcomings and weaknesses. And, you know, it ain't a good thing. So, fuck, we're not doing a very good job, are we, on this Father's Day of getting a message out to you. Maybe I should just drop that. I think we're trying to drop the PAB ball now that it's over, and I know those of you who weren't there are probably tired of hearing about it on various podcasts. I'm still in my mind, it's still fresh. Anthony posted in Facebook, gee, it was a week ago, we were sitting on an outdoor patio talking, and it just came back to me. The image was so clear, sitting at the Arrow and Loon on Bank and Fifth in Ottawa, outdoors on just a perfect summer evening, and just people coming by and just talking and chatting and feeling good, and great supply of really good beer and a little bit of a nice cookie to kick you into higher space. And God damn, that was fun. That was the night of the boat cruise that I bemoaned that there wouldn't be one, but in the end, it really didn't make any difference at all. And the day turned out wonderful. Yeah, so that's the PAB we're not going to talk about anymore. We're not going to talk about Father's Day, I guess. Could say a little bit more about Ryan. I know, I mean, you know, he'd probably, if he was reflecting on it, he would be saying, I wasn't a very good father, I wasn't there enough for you, I was distant. I'm sure he would think those things, and of course, as a child, I would argue back, or as his son, no, Dad, you're great, you're somebody I respected and looked up to. And I think that's true of my brother and sister, too. He was a good man. Oh, I know. There was another thing. My father was a Mason. And I guess, you know, he was that way for a long time, you know, from the days we lived in Valleyfield. And once we got settled and he was retired and he'd moved to Ottawa, I think he went a little deeper into it and reached higher levels, as they do. And at his funeral, there was a Masonic element to his funeral, which was really quite moving and quite wonderful, of these men sort of circling his coffin and placing branches on it and doing the hand signals and pointing up to heaven, and a tradition that's pretty old, and I was going to say sacred, and yeah, sacred's probably the right word. I don't know what it meant, other than it felt like they were guiding my father's spirit to a better place, and it was very moving. Seeing that, it felt like a wow. They've honored this man, my father, and we were a part of it. It wasn't for us; it was for my dad and the other Masons. But there are times when I feel within this podcasting community, this, you know, I don't know what else to call this community because they're not all podcasters, but the organization that, in a way, PAB represents, that I feel that same kind of honor and belonging, that this is my Masonic group, that these are this is the code that I choose to live by and feel a part of. It's quite wonderful. So yeah, I wanted to share that with you. Okay, that sort of ties. Doesn't that tie everything together? It ties in PAB, Father's Day, ritual, spiritualism. There is one last point. Oh, God. Oh, I go to a dark place now. Well, having said that, do I have any choice? And it was posted on somebody's Facebook page, and it was probably somebody who was quite conservative and a Christian, but it was about, written from the perspective of a German who had gone through World War II, and they represented the people who were part of the establishment, who'd done well, who were, you know, watched the Nazis come in and sort of found them jokers, didn't identify, weren't Nazis themselves, tolerated them back in the early 1930s, maybe as idiots, but were glad to see this sense of pride coming back to being German again, and sort of stating that we're representative of the large group of people who did nothing until it was too late and then couldn't do anything. These people had power over us, and that was that, and then things just got totally beyond their control, and maybe the silent majority, when there was a chance maybe to speak up, didn't, because they couldn't, they didn't fully understand the threat, and were in some ways satisfied that things were better under this group coming up, you know, rising from the ashes of World War One. And then it goes on to equate that to what's happening in Islam today, that how Islam has been hijacked by fanatics. And these fanatics are very fucking dangerous, and they are taking over the mosques worldwide, and they have their campaign, and there are far too many people who are just being passive and sitting back and letting this happen to their religion. And in other words, it's not necessarily the religion itself that is at fault, but the people, the leaders who are taking control, who have fanatical views of Islam, and these are the ones who are spearheading things like taking over, basically, lots of African countries. And I believe that is happening. And I believe there are fanatics in control in Europe, running the mosque, getting the message out that it should be a holy war, and this is the true one and only true religion, and anybody else is a, you know, just wrong if they don't follow this line. And these people are doing horrible things in the name of their religion, and others don't dare turn around and challenge them because they might be next on the chopping block. And that frightens me, and it upsets me, and it's wrong. And how do you change it? Is it happening right here in Scarborough? We have a number of very prominent big mosques. Are they controlled by people who are moderate and kind and buying into the Canadian way of life, which is tends to be a little more gentle, or I used to think it did, maybe not. But certainly we're tolerant as a culture, and is there an intolerance that's being preached and taught to young people in the mosques here in Canada? And if so, what are people going to do about it? So maybe I won't go too much further. The thing is, you know, I would never put that up on my own Facebook page because it would sound like, oh, no, here's another hate monger. Here's another intolerant asshole preaching about the evils of Islam. And that's not exactly what the message was. The message was, in any group, and this would include the Christian right, this would include the Republican Party in the States, this includes any, you know, group that may start off as well-intentioned and then just becomes hijacked by fanatics. And there are dangerous people out there, and they do preach dangerous messages, and they are to be feared. So, there's it. Is that the Sunday sermon? Be kind, be gentle, be tolerant, be forgiving, and stop those fuckers who don't believe in that message. Wow, how do you do that? I don't know. Guess I'll leave that to you now. How long have we been going on? Probably quite a while. I got to get back. I'm going to see The Graduate, a play at my local playhouse here in Scarborough. I've lived here 18 years or more. Have never gone to a play at the Scarborough Playhouse. At the foot of Markham Road and at Kingston, you know? It's crazy. It's right there. $18 productions in a cozy little theater. But tonight, I got tickets. My wife and I are going, or today, this afternoon, matinee. And that's good. That's something different. So, on that note, I think it's time to go home and catch up to you. Welcome back to the Dixon James Podcast, the hypocritical edition, because I'm leaving out things that made me sound kind of creepy and not so nice. I don't know what this makes me sound like. Probably this makes me sound like, geez, there's a nice guy. He's kind of honest, kind of tries to tell the truth, you know. And that's the image I want to put out there. Okay? Forgive me. Yeah. Take care and bye for now.
The coyotes are howling, way out where the dog is bawling, where spurs are a-jingling, a cowboy is singing this lonesome cattle call. Day's work is done as he rounds up the cattle each fall. Singing his cattle call. And he sings with an old western drawl. Ooh-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, singing his cattle call.
Afternoon. Scrapper Dude coming at you, coming to you from Thompson Park. Nice change, sitting on a bench. It's quiet today, not like on the weekends. And I'm just coming from my bank and thought, oh, fuck, I don't want to go home right now. Why don't I just go and sit in a park bench? And that's exactly what I'm doing. Feeling a little rough. I picked up a cough. Very similar to the one Adam had, but I don't think it was a cold, and I don't know what the fuck this is, but man, oh man, a real hacking, horrible cough, and just gotta deal with it, but it kind of saps your energy, you know, and I'm lazy enough as it is. That's something it's just a fact of life. I mean, I think we are born in certain ways. There's a whole lot we can do to change our personalities and to grow and be kinder, better, gentler, more loving, blah, blah, blah. But when you're born lazy like I am, it's really hard to change. And I do what I have to do. I always do what I have to do. But I might get plans. Hey, I could do a better job. I could do this more. I could try this, and I let those ideas kind of wither on the vine, but there's really no need. So it's no wonder that both my children may be, to some extent, that way. A little run-in with Joe yesterday. Conflict over attitude. When things don't go right, I don't mean when he doesn't get his own way, but when something doesn't work clearly, you know, on a computer or something, he just gets angry. Stupid thing. It sucks. It's stupid. And I know he got that from me, so I can't fault him for it. And yet it brings out the worst in me. And I'm not here trying to paint Joe in a bad light. I'm trying to paint myself in a bad light, as if I needed to any more than I do. It just, I get emotional. Well, Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake, you gotta, oh, God damn it. You know, and I react, and it's the fault my kids see in me, you know. I'm just a child myself. And I don't think I'm ever going to grow up, you know, in that respect. I just get angry, get frustrated, I just swear, and yeah. So how can I hold the bar higher and say, well, here, but that's okay for me to do. You can't be like that. On the other hand, there's parts of me that have been saying, following this Father's Day theme, I'm just not a great father. But I know others are correct. Hey, your kids have grown up fine. They've got good values. You've done a fine job. Don't worry about it. And that's nice to know. But I felt good that I was, I just came from the bank and I put money into an RESP. And so I'm on the practical level, I'm doing things that are the right thing to do. I don't know why I'm telling you this other than maybe to make me feel better about myself, because I'm feeling kind of down a little bit lately. So I was able to put in money for both boys, you know, pay for their college. And it was a great deal. You know, you put in $2,000 one year, the government kicks in $400. It's the best deal going. And just, you know, when there was money come in, that's what I did. Topped it up. So Frank's college is paid for. He's sort of emerged without any debt. Now, mind you, he just has this college degree, and if he wants to go back to school, wow, he's starting from scratch again. But it's going to cover Chuck's next couple of years, not Chuck, Joe's next couple of years, and, you know, a computer or cell phone or whatever else he needs to get through. I feel good about that. You know, I'm doing those practical things in life that a father is expected to do, or a parent maybe. You know, I say father, it doesn't have to be male role, but in our case, it is, just because I know the way Canada works more than my wife does. My wife, bless her soul, on Father's Day, on my bed was a nice big bag, and in that bag was a little shaving kit, a very nice portable little one, and inside was an electric nose trimmer, nose hair trimmer. And I am afraid to put that sucker up my nose. Like, I'm just picturing this thing getting out of control and just tearing the inside membranes right off the flesh of your nose. Ooh, God. But it's kind of funny, you know, because you get older and nose hairs just sprout from everywhere. And normally what I do is, if there's one long one, if you can see a hair in the mirror, you can just grab the end of it and just pull it out. It's almost fun just to tug out. And you get these things out of your nose, you know. But this is a job to go in there and get them all at once, like a weed whacker. And I don't know. It seems kind of funny. It was almost like a joke gift, but maybe not. But the same day I was watching television, they were interviewing somebody from England on the TV. And, you know, with what cameras are like these days on television screens. And there was a close-up of this guy's face. And you could see just on his right nostril about three hairs sticking way down. And it was really, really evident. And once your mind sees it, it's like that mole on Goldmember, you know. Once you see it, you can't take your eyes off it. Like, it's just, it's disturbing. And he would have benefited from having one of these. And I'm sure after he was on TV that day, his wife or children's dad, fix your fucking nose, man. Pull those hairs out. It's disgusting. So that was one little thing. Nice of her to think of me. But she also gave me a lovely, lovely, I'm holding in my hand right now, little Swiss Army shoulder bag. You know the ones that just, it's a very small bag with one sort of shoulder strap that you can just put in your essentials. Now, it's lovely, and I really do like the Swiss Army brand. I love that bright red logo with the cross. And it's got three zippered pockets. One of them is you can put in an iPod, and there's a little hole where your earphones can pop out, and you know, it's very safe, very secure, very well made. So it was a wonderful thing. The only catch is it's really small. And my iPad won't fit in. And I'm thinking, gee, that's the one thing when I'm going out I like to carry. It's simply because I don't have an iPhone. And I guess I could start making better use of my iPod instead. But it was nice, and it was just more than anything, it was just the thought. It was very kind of her to get me a Father's Day gift. I guess, you know, ostensibly from my sons. Anyway, she's a lovely woman. Next topic? Yeah, so what have we done here? I'm not such a bad father. Oh, went to see The Graduate. I told you I was going to see that. It was an excellent production. I've gone to a couple of local theaters. Our good friend John Meadows had a role in Don Quixote. Excellent. And I've been paying, you know, $60 and up for theater tickets for these big spectacles that come and go, the musicals, West Side Story, and others. And they're okay. Yeah, it's good. It's fun. But these little theaters, a smaller, cozy, more intimate theater with local actors, far richer experience. And we're talking like $20 and under for these seats. It's amazing. And these guys just nailed The Graduate. It was a wonderful performance. And this is like walking distance from my home, and I can't believe I've never gone there. So we are now going to subscribe for next season, because usually this whole thing just sells out. And you can't get individual tickets. So I'm telling you, if there's a local theater in your area, check it out. Check it out. Was there anything new? No, I just said I was kind of whining a bit, feeling shitty because of this little bit of the sore throat and cough, but also feeling down on myself again, like you're continuously. It's sort of a post-pab down. That I can't seem to shake. I keep, and I apologize for even sharing this with you, but I keep going over something that is just truly not important, is my Jolt presentation. And it's just because I don't know what I said. I don't know what I conveyed. I can't see it from somebody who would listen to it. And I think it was probably a very strange, mixed up, confused message. And it bothers me because, you know, the other presentations were clear and you could follow and they had meaning and I liked them all. And it's not even embarrassment, and it's not shame, it's just, oh my God, why? And I guess maybe one of the facts is I just simply can't work within a 5-minute time frame. That's just not possible, and I don't think I'll ever do that again, for starters. But I know even if I had 20 minutes, I don't think I would have delivered any more or done any better a job. It's just, maybe I'm just, my time is up for that respect. And speaking of which, for some reason it came up yesterday, Alzheimer's. And my wife just sort of casually, oh, you'll get it, yeah. And right away my back gets up. What? No, don't say that. I don't want to hear that. Well, no, it's just a fact, you know. Don't tell me that, you know. And my father didn't have it. My mother did. I think my mind is working pretty well. I think I'm doing all the right things, staying current, staying with younger people, just being actively involved in a number of things. But the way she said it, it's just sort of dismissal. Again, don't even argue. It doesn't make any difference if you do crossword puzzles or not, you know. Now, part of it is just maybe she's reflecting on her own situation, and this is what she deals with every day. She works with old people. But I got really annoyed. Don't fucking tell me that. I don't need to hear that. It's not helpful. Thank you. So there we are. 5 minutes ago, I was saying, my dear wife, and now I'm cursing her out for telling me I'm going to have Alzheimer's. But I think, in truth, I am concerned about that. I don't want to get old. And I don't know. I went to this theater. It was all old people. It was a Sunday matinee. Well, who comes out? People in the walkers and canes and just a whole lot of old people. And I look, and in fact, most of them are probably not much older than me, if they were at all. But they just look fucking old, and I don't want to be with them. They look old and boring and just, oh my God, you may as well just give up and die. Really, it's just, it's irritating. And, you know, somebody gets up, and then they can't walk through a fucking door. They just want to stop there. You're in the middle of a hall, and somebody with a cane or walker just says, well, this is a good place to stop. Completely oblivious to everybody else who's behind them trying to get by. And they're all fucking fat. And it's just goddamn annoying being around old people. And, of course, where does that leave me? So, I don't know. I guess have we said enough here? Yeah, we probably have. I think I'm going to go back. The trouble is I go back home and I look at my computer and I think of that nice, what is it, the Retina display, Mac Pro or whatever it is, and a MacBook Pro, yeah, the new one, and I want it, but it's not out for 3 or 4 weeks, and I want it now, and so I'm just probably going to wait till after my tour. And I look at my old computer, and I got a keyboard hooked up to it, and it's working good enough, and then I just say, oh, fuck, I don't feel like doing any of this shit, and I lie down. And I put things off. And that's such a terrible thing to do. And I just can't. Here it is. I just don't have the juice to push myself. I want to be retired. I don't want to be working. I want to be lying on a fucking beach with nothing else to do but get a drink, go to a movie, soak in the sun, take a little walk, have a nap. I don't want to be working. I don't want to be paying bills. I don't want to have to fight with Rogers over the latest costs. I don't want to have to do all the paperwork and calls necessary to get a rebate on my son's glasses. I don't want to do all the shit that goes with just living in this modern world of all the crap you have to do every fucking day just to stay afloat. You know, I just want to fucking unplug. But you can't, you see. You just can't. You want your TV. You want that nice big screen. You want all that good stuff in your life that you like playing with. Well, it comes at a price, buddy. It comes at a price. And you know you're not ready to be a hermit and go off and live in a cave and really give up all your fancy toys and live the simple life. You know you can't do that. And I can't. So what do? I bitch to you on a podcast. Yeah. All right, the boys, girls. I don't know if this made me feel any better. Maybe it did. I'm thinking of a lot of you. Some people say, I don't know who my listeners are. They joke about only having four, but I know who a lot of my listeners are, and I do really, really appreciate your support. I mean, I've all day I've had this idea running through. Okay, if you're not going to stop drinking, stop podcasting. Pull something out of your life. And I think this would be a foolish and a stupid move, and yet there's another part of me that says, yeah, you know, just quit. And I'm not saying that as a teaser. I always worry about how dependent I am on having you as a listening audience. I don't like being dependent on people for anything. And yet I am kind of dependent on knowing there's listeners out there who tune in the Scarborough Dude every week. Sorry. And listen to the Dixon James podcast, as you are doing now. So that said, let's have a tune. Let's go on out of here, and I'll move on and get home and try not to open up a beer too early. It's, what time is it? Yeah, 4 o'clock, no, too early. 5 is the proper hour for having a drink. All right, take care. Bye for now. Yeah, I just wanted to add a little a P.S. to this thought, the Father's Day thing. A thought, an image that just keeps coming back, it never really goes away, is seeing your children as little children and wishing you could do that again, just wishing you could have that time back when they're 5 and 7, you know, 6, 8, 10. Just up to that time, you just wish you could replay that whole thing in slow motion and do it again. And so I don't know if what was going on in my head at the time, whether I felt, I mean, I wasn't away or anything, but it's as if I want more of it. And maybe it's just a natural longing. Maybe other parents feel that way, and it's just, it's kind of precious. That time when you have young children, you're aware of it, and man, after a point, they just grow up. They change. They're not those little children who want to hold your hand and go for a walk with you anymore. And there's a real sadness to that. I know I've said that time and again on this show, and it's, I don't know if the message there is for those of you who just have children not to forget that and relish all the time you get, because it'll be, childhood will be over soon enough. And you'll be dealing with adults and wondering what the hell happened to time and those precious days. It's almost painful. I'll leave that with you. Bye-bye. Yeah, this is getting towards the end of this podcast. I don't know what it is, number 354 maybe. Yeah. I got home last night and I was sitting with my wife. I was watching Earth, that film about India, actually about partition, 1947. India being divided up into Pakistan, and oh my God, that was just... A wonderful movie. Wonderful is not the right word. Deeply disturbing, just for the horrendous reality of war, of killing, of hatred, of people divided by their religions, their backgrounds, and you just felt for the . There were scenes there I can't get out of my head, but I mean it was a good film, a film you have to see because it was a reflection of reality. And again, as always, I thank God that I've been spared such horrors in my life. And I suppose that's what drives me to talk so much about peace. Maybe that's not enough, just talking about it, but it's certainly something that I can't seem to let go of. Maybe the necessity to remind ourselves that this is not the way it is for most of the world, much of the world, and that there are just so many poor people being hurt. But let's move on from there. Anyway, we were sitting together on the sofa, and she said, you know, so many times I wish I could go back to the time when the children were little and be a better mother. And I said, that's so funny because just today on my podcast, I said the same thing. I wish I could go back and relive those times again. I don't know if that's true of most parents. Maybe it's true of some. But it is in our house, and there's a real sadness to it. And maybe, you know, I guess there was a time when our marriage was a bit rocky. I don't know that that was so much in the beginning when they were young, though. I don't think so. I think there's just that parental feeling that you could always do better. Any problems your children may have, it's, you know, you want to take the blame yourself for it. Anyway, just thought I'd share that with you. It's not just me. It's me and my wife, and maybe it's some of you out there, too. Sorry, I've just still got that cough, although I'm feeling a little better. I had to cancel one appointment today, and I've got a couple lined up for tomorrow, and then just starting to gear up for this, the tour of the girls coming this summer. And I let it build up a little bit and put things off when I shouldn't, but hey, that's just par for the course. The thing I wanted to talk about was when I get a little bit sick, like just this cold or whatever, I get very depressed. So my God, I can't imagine what it'd be like if I get diagnosed with the big C or something else. You know, I just get down. I get dragged down, and it's very hard to get out of. And it's you know, this is just a bloody cold. But I don't know if that was part of it or what. But I was feeling very depressed, and there's a feeling. I guess I'm going to try and finish this now and hopefully never mention it again. But I've noticed since before I took the train to Vancouver, I've been talking about this jolt as if it was the biggest thing in the world. And of course it's not. It's 5 minutes of sitting up there and saying something. And I just, in my mind, it had become so, I don't even know if important is the word, but I was making it into something it wasn't. And I was tying up so much with it. And I think yesterday or maybe when I was recording, I talked about that Alzheimer's. And I think I've had a feeling at PAB, if you hear that jolt, if they release it later, I'm just fighting back tears. I'm just on the edge of tears. And I thought at the time there were tears for happiness. That was certainly the case at PodCamp Toronto when the same thing happened. Happiness for all the wonderful new friends I have. It just makes me feel so, just overwhelmed by this wonderful gift, this blessing. And there's also that a sense that it's coming to an end. And I think it's almost like this feeling that either, if I'm not going to die, I'm going to become incapacitated somehow, mentally or physically or both. And the reason I'm getting so emotionally upset is that it's like a goodbye. It's a saying, I can't hang on to this. I've got it now, but it's leaving. And that's a weird feeling, and it's a bit premature, and I don't know, like I say, if that's tied into just being a little depressed because you're... I got a fucking cough. I don't know if that's part of the problem or what it is. But it's really been dragging me down, and it's twisted things out of proportion. And then I listened to my conversation with Adam that went on for, I'm sure, a good 40 minutes in our room in Ottawa, and I was able to explain what I wanted to say in that 5 minute blurb, but of course it wasn't 5 minutes. And I don't know why this has tied me up in knots so much. And I want to apologize to you for continuing to pick away at this damn thing. It's not that it was so important, it wasn't at all. But for some reason, maybe I felt it was like my last kick at the can. I don't know. But it's bugged me, and I'm just sorry to have gone on and on and on about the same damn thing, because there's really nothing more to say about it. Sometimes I know some of my listeners, and certainly some of the people I know, whether they listen or not, do get trapped in your own heads, you know. And it becomes a battle fighting your way out and back into the real world. It just becomes so overpowering. All the demons and monsters we create and all the boogeymen that are of our own making, but they still have tremendous force and power and control over us sometimes. So, I don't know. Let's put that to rest, can we? Can we move on? Is there another topic? Oh, yeah. Where am I? I'm in Buffers Park. And I'm sitting under the shade of two pine trees. This is one of those super hot days. It's like 30 degrees plus here in Ontario. And I couldn't imagine a better place. I went to the trunk, pulled out the red folding canvas chair. And I've got a breeze blowing off Lake Ontario. And I've got a view of the lake to my left and this little inlet where the fucking sea-doos come in. But fortunately, none of them out there today. Oh, God. And few humans do clutter up the scenery. But it's a perfect spot. This breeze is... You can't imagine a nicer, more gentler breeze. If only I just was sitting here camping. And that gets me on to Barnacle Bill. The poor fellow is his 65th birthday on Thursday. Brian from Nunavut, his 61st birthday this Saturday. So my friends are all hitting that mark. I'm due next April for my 65th. And out west, they've got flooding and nothing but rain and horrific weather. And this poor guy loaded up his 25-year-old Mazda with all his camping gear and was just determined to make it to Jasper where he had gone, I guess, 25 years earlier. And was just determined to sort of relive, you know, maybe maintain his old self, the guy who can just pitch a tent and build a campfire, because so many people our age now need just motels or a camping van or, you know, Winnebago or something else and can't tent anymore. And Barnacle Bill is holding on to his youth. We were all, once, when we all moved out to Vancouver in the 70s, we became campers, and we went hiking, camping, and the interior of British Columbia, all over, every back road you could find, every camp spot, every logging road, and knew the country well, and just loved it. And that's what you did on a weekend. You just packed up your Coleman, your nylon tent, your sleeping bag, and a cooler full of beer, and off you went, bag of dope. He just had an absolutely wonderful time in the country. So this is a three cheers to Barnacle Bill, the only person to meet him that I know of. Well, few non-listeners know him, of course, but Adam got to meet him in Vancouver and was surprised to find he wasn't nearly as ornery as I've made him out to be. So I guess I'm going to wind down here. I don't know. I just know that I'm kind of... Yesterday, I was ready to stop podcasting, put an end to it. I've been a fool. This is all stupid. I've embarrassed myself. And today, I'm thinking, what the fuck is that all about? Where'd that all come from? And it just shows you the power of moods and how they can control you. It's so sad. There was just another story in the news. Two students from Hamilton Wentworth District School Board, I guess, jumped off a cliff or something. Anyway, two of them, 16 years old, committed suicide, and all their friends at school were stunned. They said they didn't share anything with us. They didn't tell us. They didn't let on. They just seemed fine. And it seems so sad when people that age, before you even know what's going on, end your life. Oh, so unnecessary. And just... Because everything changes all the time. That's what life is. And you just wish you could reach those people who are on the verge of, you know, suicidal thoughts or fighting depression or just think the world could never be any better for them. And the only solution is to end it. And that's just, oh my God, so wrong-headed and so tragic. So, depression, it's a killer.